Well, if you have your Bibles tonight, turn to the book of Romans, please. The book of Romans. I'm not sure exactly what the Lord's going to do. It's in my heart to maybe teach through the book of Romans. And I hope and pray the Lord will allow me to do that, but I don't want to commit to it till I know for sure. But I know for sure tonight we're going to be in Romans chapter number 1. It's a wonderful book in the Bible, and it's a good God that left it for us, because there's so much information in it that we need in these days. In verse number 1 of chapter number 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. I want you to pay attention tonight, if you would, as I read, to the word gospel. It's, I believe, used 4 times, if I've got it correct. I looked it over in this first chapter, which he had promised afore by his holy prophets in the holy scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, to the end that you may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. If correctly read, that's the first 18 verses of Romans chapter number 1. Pray with me, would you please? Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to be back in the house of God. Thank you, Lord, tonight. Paul, he had looked forward to meeting with the church at Rome. And Lord, I remember the days not too long ago when there was just a handful of us that could come into the church building and tried to be a blessing to the folks, Lord, through the internet services. Thank you for that technology, but Lord, it's so good to be back with your people. I ask you now, Father, tonight to bless each one that's gathered here tonight. And God, I pray you'd stir up our hearts concerning the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask you, Father, tonight to help us to enter in, our Lord, to what the Apostle Paul is teaching us here in this chapter. Make us more like your Son. Make us a better disciple of the Lord Jesus. Make us a better people. Make us better servants. And God will give you glory in Jesus' name. And amen. And amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but I appreciate the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got a lot of problems in our land. We've got a lot of problems in the world. But I don't know of a problem that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ would not address. The Congress is having discussions concerning the protests, concerning the law enforcement, and some have suggested, I wouldn't be ready to say many, but some have suggested that what we need to do is defund the police. I want to just say this tonight, as long as there's sin, you're going to need the law. And the sin is going to be here until Jesus comes. Amen. And even at that, it's going to raise its head again at the end of the millennium. If you read in the book of the Revelation how that Satan is loosed and goes throughout the four corners of the earth and gathers together an army once again. But once again, Satan is defeated. I thought about the problems, and I believe that some of the people, there's no way that a white man can get by with saying what needs to be said. But there are some black people that are beginning to say what needs to be said. Things like, we need to look at the home. Things like, maybe they should have a choice where they go to school. Maybe they shouldn't be bound to a school system, amen, that really doesn't care whether you pass or fail. I don't know how you feel about it tonight, but I believe in a free society, competition's good. Say amen. If I have the same $1,000 and I can send my kid to the schools where the gangs are, or I can take the same $1,000 and send them over here somewhere where they'll be taught the same thing that we teach in this church, to me, that's a no-brainer. I'm going to send them over there, amen, where it'll be reinforced. But many, most in America have no choice but just to go with what's given. And I know there's arguments on both sides of that. But I know that there was a time in my life, not many years, but I can remember in my young childhood, Brother Preston, they came over the intercom in the school and said, Mr. So-and-so is going to lead us in prayer. And then one of the teachers, maybe a man, maybe a lady, would read from the scripture over the intercom. That didn't last too long. I can remember even in high school when it was not, I guess, politically correct anymore. I can remember a group, a very small group, gathering around the flagpole. I wish I could talk to him today. I wish I could confess to him, Brother Steve, that what they were doing, even though you couldn't see it at the time, Brother Ralph, it was having an impact in my heart and in my life. Because I believe deep down on the inside, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl knows what's right and what's wrong. The gospel. Paul mentions it four times in the verses that I read to you tonight. I got to get started or we'll never get finished. But I'm going to look at four things tonight. If I don't run out of time, I'd like to look at the gospel messenger. I'd like to look at the gospel message. I'd like to look at the gospel manifested. And then I'd like to look at the gospel mystery. Those are the things that I God has put in my heart to look at tonight as we look here in the Word of God. First, I want to look at the gospel messenger. You say, preacher, why did you start with that instead of the message? Because that's where the chapter starts. Paul. That's what the Word of God said. Paul has declared, I believe we'll see three things about him quickly. Number one, he's a servant. Number two, he surrendered. And number three, he separated unto the gospel of God. Paul, and I didn't realize this, Saul was his Hebrew name, but Paul was his Roman name. See, he was a citizen of Rome. I knew that, but I didn't know why the difference in his name. And later in the book of Acts, Saul just goes away. He's never called that anymore, but he's called Paul. Here he's writing to the church at Rome, and he wants us to know, the messenger wants us to know that he's a servant. That he's a, if you look into it in the language, he's a bond slave. If you go back in the Old Testament, you'll find out where that, when it was time in the Jubilee for a slave to be set free, if that slave so loved his master and wanted to stay with his master, they would put his ear up against the doorpost and take an awl, A-W-L, and bore a hole in his ear. And what he was saying is, I'd rather be in this household with my master than I would to be out there a free man. And he was saying, I want to serve this master all the days of my life, whatever's left. I want you to know tonight, I've known two masters in my life. The first one mastered me pretty good for 27 years. But thank God Almighty, the gospel came along and I changed masters. No longer a master to sin and a slave to sin and a slave to Satan. But now, my friend, like Paul, a bond slave. Listen, I really don't think if you fall in love with Jesus, you don't have no choice but to serve him. You want to serve him. Why in the world would anybody that knows him not want to serve him? I believe if we don't want to serve him, we ought to check up and make sure we really know him. Amen. In the free pardon of sin. And here Paul is called a servant. He's called. That doesn't mean just merely invited, but it means he's an appointed one. God has called him. Beloved, listen. I know there's not much said about this in these days, but I still believe God calls men. I don't believe you jump up one morning and say, I want to be a preacher, I'm going to school. I believe God calls men to preach the gospel. And listen, I'm going to go a step further than that, beloved. I know that this will get a lot of people in trouble, but I believe God calls men to the pastorate. Listen, you can have men that could do a lot better job. But listen, I know what God put in my heart. And I think there's some people in this building that know what God put in my heart. What I'm trying to say is, beloved, listen, years ago, I did this. I did it once. I'll never do it again. I filled out a resume. I filled out a resume. They wanted to look at my resume. Now, I don't know how to spell resume, but thank God I can say it. And I tell you, I didn't have any peace while I was filling it out. I didn't have any peace while I put it in the envelope, and I didn't have any peace when I mailed it. And I said after I did it, I'll never do it again. How in the world can you look at a piece of paper? Say amen. In other words, let me just give you, if Paul fills out a resume, you know how many churches in Kingsport he's going to pastor? Zero. Because what's he going to have on his resume? He couldn't stay out of jail. And he wasn't on the right side of the bars, Brother Wayne. He's on the wrong side. But I believe if you met the Apostle Paul and you heard him preach the Word of God, you'd understand that something happened to him on the Damascus Road. He had an encounter with Christ, and Christ appointed him to be the messenger to the Gentiles. If you look with me, if you will, in verse number 6 and verse number 8 here in the Word of God, the Bible said, among whom ye also are called. It's not just Paul that's called. He tells the church at Rome, Brother Steve, you also are called concerning the gospel. In other words, beloved, the pastor or the evangelist cannot relieve you of your responsibility concerning the gospel. Ladies, your husband cannot relieve you of your responsibility concerning the gospel. Moms and dads cannot relieve the children and the grandchildren of their responsibility concerning the gospel. We all have a responsibility when we come to know Christ and the free pardon of sin concerning the gospel. The Bible said, look in verse number 8. He said, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you pastors at Rome. Is that what it says, Brother Steve? You're shaking your head. That's because that isn't what it says, brother. He said, for you all. Now, what were you all doing? What were they doing? The Bible said here that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. I've heard Brother John stand in this pulpit teaching Sunday school before and saying we could do better. I believe in Bloomingdale we can do better. That our faith will be spoken of. Listen, it may never be spoken of throughout the whole world the way it was at Rome, but couldn't we at least make it a goal that it would be spoken of throughout Bloomingdale? Amen? The Word of God is talking about a messenger here, a gospel messenger, talking about Paul, the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you will, turn with me to 2 Corinthians just a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. And verse number 3, the Word of God said, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Now, we know it's the gospel of God. We know it's the gospel of Christ. We know that Paul in some places calls it my gospel. But the Word of God said, our gospel. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Ourselves, here's the word again, your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. I want to know who's here tonight that knows that God has shined in your heart. And every one of us knows someone, or several someones, who that light has not shined in their heart yet. And the Word of God said, He has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He said, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Let me ask you something. If you could have a brick of gold, solid, as big as that right there, would you rather have that or the gospel? You say, preacher, I don't know why you use an illustration like that, because there's not too many people in the world that wouldn't consider that a treasure, to have a brick of gold as big as that tissue box right there. But beloved, I'm telling you, the gospel is much more of a treasure, and every born-again believer owns that gospel and has it down inside of them. The Apostle Paul, a servant. He surrendered. He's an apostle. He's one sent by God and clothed by God with full and complete authority to speak and to act on behalf of that one that called him his divine sender, the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, how do you know he was surrendered? Couple of things. In verse number 14, he said, I'm a debtor. Brother Wayne, you owe it to him. Brother Grizzle, that money goes out of here every month. We owe it to him. Oh, I read a good letter. I meant to print it off and bring it to the pulpit tonight, but I got a wonderful letter from Brother Allen about what's going on with them Bibles in Papua New Guinea. Perhaps I'll remember to do it Sunday. We owe it to them. Paul said, I can't stay over here. I owe it to you. I'm going to try to come to where you are. I'm a debtor. But there are many people, listen to me tonight, I'm not being critical, but I'm trying to state truth. There are many people that realize their debt, but they can't say the second thing. And that's what Paul, when Paul said in the next verse, I believe it's verse 15, he said, I'm ready. Many of God's people are saved by the grace of God, and that's as far as they go. They're not ready to share the gospel. Lots of people don't even know what the gospel is. The Word of God teaches us that the gospel, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, how that Christ died for our sin according to the Scripture, and He was buried, and He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. He surrendered. He said, I'm debtor. And he said, I'm ready. And some people, listen to me carefully right here. I'm not being critical. Some don't get ready. But some get ready, then they have a problem with the last thing right here. Paul said, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. Years ago, it hadn't been too many years ago. My mind don't work like it used to. My brother's pastor at Mountain City. Somebody help me. Brother Fletcher, thank you. Brother Leonard Fletcher wrote a song entitled, I'm Not Ashamed. And one of the lines in the song is, I'm not ashamed to stand and say that I love Jesus. Listen, though. It's one thing to stand in a pulpit or a church and say, I love Jesus. But what about standing in the midst of the darkness? I believe I witnessed the lady several years ago. Y'all may not remember this. I saw it in the news. I believe I witnessed the lady that loved Jesus. She had a teenage boy, and he was bigger than she was. And he was going across the street to get into some of that mess that was going on over there. And she went over after him. And she reached up there and grabbed him by the ear and twisted it and walked him back across the street. I say, glory to God, we need some more mothers like that. I know there's a lot of men that don't have a father, an earthly father or a heavenly father. Their only hope is a mother that'll reach up and get them by the ear. And I'm telling you, beloved, tonight, that mother was not ashamed. She did what needed to be done. And I believe the greatest need in our communities, in our cities, is the gospel. I say this to you tonight. I believe in the average church, the greatest need is the gospel. I'm not talking about a social gospel. I'm talking about a scriptural gospel. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see the messenger. Not only is he a servant, and not only is he surrendered, but he is separated unto the gospel of Christ. The Bible said in verse number 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. I'm not going to turn there and read the scripture tonight, but you'll understand where I'm coming from. In our even fundamental churches today, there's not much said about scriptural separation. When's the last time you even heard the verse quoted? Come out from among the world. Touch not the unclean thing. Be a separate people. That don't mean we're looking down our nose better than somebody else, but that means, glory to God, the gospel made a difference in our lives. That difference ought to be reflected in our speech. That difference ought to be reflected in everything that's going on in our life. All kinds of spokes, but Christ needs to be the hub. And tonight, Paul was not just separated from. Years ago, even when separation was being preached, there was not much preached on being separated unto. It's not just about being separated from, but it's being separated unto the gospel of God, or the gospel of Christ. I won't go into this as far as reading every text tonight. I'm only 1/4 done right now, and it's already 5 minutes late. But I learned this as I studied. I probably knew some of this. I know I did, but Paul was separated by God before his conversion. Paul was separated by Christ at his conversion. And Paul was separated by the Holy Spirit after his conversion. I think we better back up and read the text. Go with me to Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 15. Galatians chapter number 1 and verse number 15. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 15, here's what the Word of God said. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace. Now listen to me. Don't get confused right here tonight. But it was a shock to Paul what happened on the Damascus Road. A complete and utter shock to his system. He's knocked off of his high horse. He's humble. He's blind. He's headed down now to the street called Straight. But God knew it when he come out of his mother's womb. Glory to God. It was a complete and utter shock. On February the 22nd, 1987, a young man that had been a church member for 6.5 years, had the respect of the community, worked hard, tried to be a good daddy, tried to be a good husband. It was a shock to so many. But God knew it. When little Richard Timothy Vinoy on February, that wasn't February, that's the real birth. My physical birth was December 31st. 1959. God knew it. God knew it. He's called by God, separated by God before. Look at Acts chapter 9 and verse number 15. He's separated by Christ at his conversion. In the book of Acts chapter 9 and verse number 15, Acts chapter 9 and verse number 15. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Beloved, Jesus is the one that laid the mission down for Paul. And then the Word of God said in Acts chapter 13, I should have stayed there a moment, Acts chapter 13 and verse number 2, the Bible said, well, let's look at verse 1 as well. Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manenian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them to do. I believe tonight that we cannot emphasize too much that this man that is writing the book of Romans is a man that was a servant. He is a man that was surrendered. He is a man that is separated unto the gospel of God. I believe that Paul is qualified. He was qualified by God to do the work that God had called him to do. The Word of God tells us not only about the messenger, but about the message. Look in verse number 3, the gospel message. This will be as far as we'll get tonight. In verse number 3, the Word of God said, concerning His Son, Jesus Christ. I love these next two words. Would you say them with me? Our Lord. I love those words. Our Lord. There's one thing that we can say for sure. A pastor can stand right here tonight and hope, Brother Steve, and pray that everyone that just said, our Lord, it's so. But there's one thing the pastor can stand here and say for sure tonight. He's my Lord. And there's only one thing you can say for sure tonight. That's that He's your Lord. Brother Steve, you can't know for Miss Cindy. Miss Cindy, you can't know for Brother Steve. But thank God Almighty, we can everyone know the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's the great shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. He's the good shepherd. But best of all, He's my shepherd. Because if you know all those other things and you don't know that He's your shepherd. You say, preacher, what's a shepherd do? Well, concerning the gospel, the Bible said the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Not only does He give His life for the sheep, that's what He did in Calvary. But thank God when He saves us, He gives His life to the sheep. That you and I can have victory. Live an abundant life. A shepherd leads us. He leads us in paths of righteousness. Some people never get this. I'm not being critical. But the Bible didn't say, Brother Grizzle, that He leads you and I in a path of righteousness for our name's sake. He leads us in a path of righteousness for His name's sake. Beloved friend, listen, when we're not walking in a path of righteousness, His name is in jeopardy. That'll help us tonight. I know I've said this before, I'll say it again. I was raised up poor. I didn't know it until I got invited over to some friend's house. They had a swimming pool in the backyard. I'm talking about a swimming pool. Kind of looked like that and on the Clampets. They didn't have any animals swimming in it though, amen. I didn't know how poor that we were. But I can remember well when I headed into my teenage years. I was a young teenager. Brother David, my daddy, saying, son, we don't have much. And he said, son, if something don't happen, we probably never will have much. How many in this room grew up poor? Anybody besides me? There's several. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? I mean, I can remember many, many mornings what my dad had for breakfast was two pieces of toast with peanut butter on it and syrup poured over it. I can remember, and I'm not a big fan of hard-boiled eggs, but when there ain't nothing else around, boil you an egg, slice it up. If I'd have known what I know now, I'd have put some mayonnaise on it, but that stuff was gross to me when I was growing up. My dad said, son, we may never have much. Brother Rosie said this, and I'll never forget it. He said, son, we've got a good name. And he used the word please. He said, please don't drag our name in the mud. Daddy knew that I was coming of age and that a lot of things was going to be out of his control. I wonder if our Savior wouldn't say to His children tonight, please, don't drag our name in the mud. The Apostle Paul has given us a message here concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, declared the Word of God, said to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. What separates Christianity and the gospel of Christ from all the other religions in the world is simply this. Many of them had a so-called Savior that died. Maybe some of them were even martyred. But there's only one that got up victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And His name is Jesus. I used to tell him in prison, you weren't allowed to preach against all the isms. Weren't allowed to preach against the false religions and all the isms. But I would say it like this. I would say, now listen, I'm just a country boy, fellas. And I realize that one day I'm going to die. I said, you can trust the one who didn't get himself up or couldn't get himself up if you want to. I'm just a country boy. I'm going to trust the one that got himself up to get me up. And I know that I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. What a blessing. The gospel messenger. The gospel message. I quoted this, some of it, a while ago. Let me finish with this tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse number 1 says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand. Can I say to you tonight, that's a good place to stand. By which, I think there was something on that verse up there, wasn't there, Brother Steve, about standing tonight. By which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. How many believes that tonight? And that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, He was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, He was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles. I don't know how you could study the life of the Apostle Paul and not love him. He says, if you want to talk about sinners, call me the chief. If you want to talk about apostles, I'm the least. The Word of God said here, I'm the least of the apostles, that I'm not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. I don't believe he ever got over it. I believe he lived his life, what a mistake, persecuting the church of God. They're saying already that probably this shutdown that we just went through may be one of the biggest mistakes in our nation's history. Some are saying that. I don't know. But I know this, when I was 27 years old, I had made a boatload of mistakes. And I didn't know how to fix them. Be fair with you, I couldn't fix them. Brother Ralph, we sing the song, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. When I think about those lines, I think of the old westerns, when somebody has went off in some quicksand, and there they go. They can't help themselves. Somebody else has to come along, throw them a rope, or hold out a branch, or form a human chain. I couldn't help myself. But thank God, here come the Holy Ghost with the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And He threw me a lifeline. God, give me enough strength, enough faith. Let me put it like this, enough grace to take hold of the lifeline. You say, preacher, look at verse 10. Paul said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Okay, we could go back to chapter number 1, and he said, I'm deader by the grace of God. I'm ready by the grace of God. I'm not ashamed by the grace of God. All of grace is my story. He said, His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but it was really the grace of God that was in me. What a blessed messenger, and what a blessed message, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just glad you come tonight.